Our next speaker, Dr. Paul Rice, is here to talk from NHS England, Head of Technology Strategy, talking about future digital opportunities. Paul.
Thanks, Richard. Morning, folks. Over the next sort of 10 or 15 minutes, I'm just going to sort of step back into the national space briefly and just outline the way in which the digital transformation portfolio is shaping up, and then close, actually looping back to something that that Linda picked up, really, which is about the personal in this and the human side of this beyond our organisations, our systems, our diagrams that are about, you know, flowcharts and responsibilities into some of the impact that this agenda is ultimately making. Apologies for the scale of this one, but there is a digital transformation portfolio that is organised across the partners in the NHS in England in this context. So that will be a wraparound that works across NHS England, NHS Improvement, and our partners in NHS Digital, then out into local organisations as appropriate. That portfolio, I mean, you can imagine the scale of the opportunities that we're exploring here are vast. So that portfolio needs to be organised in some manner and fashion to bring sense to it. So I'm just going to trip through really some of those headlines in terms of how that portfolio is organised and some of the achievements to date and some of the ambitions in terms of the direction of travel going forward. So fundamentally, it's organised around these sort of key blocks. So something about empower the person. So fundamentally understanding that one of the greatest resources that the NHS underutilises is us as its citizens, and the extent to which digital gives us an opportunity to actively participate in our own health and care at a different scale than has ever happened previously. Something about understanding that our health and care professionals need support at the point of care to effectively do the job to the best of their abilities, to access the wealth of insights and opportunities that exist in terms of the speed at which we are actually identifying new ways to treat conditions and new ways to manage care. Something about integrating services, because again, if you get any graphic that puts the citizen at the centre, one of the first and fundamental challenges we have is the wrapper around those needs to be comprehensive, not just about health and social care, but indeed, as one of our academic colleagues will follow on for me to, I think, suggest, the lived environment, the built environment, the ecological environment, all of these things fundamentally have an impact on our experience of managing and living with diseases and health and wellness. Something about the way in which in all these moving parts in the system, we've got to use the insights and ability of data to manage that system more effectively, to have much less time, effort, and energy wasted on contestation about whether my data is the right data or whether your data is the right data, when fundamentally, if we get to a single source of the truth, we can actually move on to the meaningful conversations about what we're going to do as a consequence of what actionable insights this data reveals to us. And then a last bit, which is about saying this agenda, as Linda highlighted, as Richard highlighted, just doesn't stand still. The pace at which it's developing is such that we really do need an active eye to the future. And whether you see within that artificial intelligence, whether you see within that genomics, you know, this platform is a platform to understand how do we manage more effectively today and how do we set ourselves up as a system most effectively exploit those opportunities for the future. In terms of some of that at the next level of drill down, so in terms of that empower the people or empower the person work stream, there has been a reboot recently of what was NHS Choices and has now been rebranded at NHS.uk. And that has not been done in a silo. It has not been done without active engagement of the vast number of people who've actively used that resource. It's been done in partnership with them to make sure that the information available in that context is absolutely what people need. And it's already had some really interesting impacts around helping and supporting people who are vulnerable in terms of some aspects of mental health and stress and anxiety, actually producing information that's much more customised to that need set rather than perhaps the slightly encyclopedic quality that information would have had historically. The apps library is burgeoning, the process by which an increasing number of apps are assured so that we as citizens can feel comfortable to step into that space and use those apps in an active way in terms of managing our own conditions. The way in which we've a proliferation now of access to Wi-Fi in GP practices and in other venues of care. So again, as you're sitting in that environment, you can actively use that resource to understand more things about you managing your own condition. And then some targeted and focused work in relation to the start of life and in terms of digital maternity, because again, that's a fantastic opportunity to step in to an active relationship with a mum to be, and create a digital relationship or an enabling relationship through digital there, which will carry her, the family unit, and that born child into a different relationship with the NHS going forward. And we also have now an environment where your first referral from general practice is paper free. So you can effectively only do that now across the country in a digital transaction. The second bit about enabling clinicians, Matt's speaking later on about the experience of being a GD in Liverpool, so I'm not going to labour on this one too much, but we have a cadre of organisations that were the best of that that we had to utilise digital technology to give, at the point of care, clinicians access to all of the insights that they need, and we are working with them to push them to standards of global excellence, which would mirror the stuff that Bleden's going to experience when he goes to Boston in a couple of weeks or in Canada in a couple of weeks. We need organisations in the NHS that we can look to be internationally comparable in relationship to the way in which they exploit digital technology. And then we need to work actively with the rest to make sure that they are in turn moving apace so that there isn't a differential experience across the whole of the country. So there's been resource committed to Global Digital Exemplars and their partners, Fast Followers. We're actively in the middle of a programme of committing resource that's organised around the geography of ICSs and SDPs. And apologies to anybody in the room who's thinking, how many acronyms is this man going to crunch through in the next 15 minutes? But they are our currency, or are becoming more of our currency going forward. And we've also just actively confirmed with NHS Improvement targeted investment around electronic prescribing and medicines administration, because that makes an absolutely clear difference to patient safety and patient outcomes. If that information is captured digitally, comparable digitally, and the loop is closed in terms of knowing that the medicine, the person, the venue of care are all one and the same. The third element to this, again, another acronym. We've moved on from three-letter acronyms, you'd be pleased to hear, to four or five-letter acronyms, depending on how you have captured this phrase, LICRA, but Local Health and Care Record Exemplars. Again, trying to look at the opportunities to bring the information that those individual venues of care together at a scale that means, as a citizen, my journey is uninterrupted in terms of it being informed, in terms of that digital connectivity that says I have a contact in primary care, I have a contact in secondary care, perhaps a contact in tertiary, contact in social care. How do we synthesize that information and bring it together so that all of that insight, all that is actionable in that, is able to be available to the appropriate clinician, to the appropriate care professional at each stage in that relationship? And then what's the long-term opportunities that that wealth of insight provides across an ecosystem to then drill into that for the purposes of research, for the purposes of shortening the time between understanding opportunity and going from bedside to bench and back to bedside. A really big opportunity going forward to shorten that adoption curve, which hampers the NHS so much in terms of our current practice. Better information management, again, I won't dwell on this one, but again, that idea of a single source of truth. How do we get an understanding and insight across the regulators, across the commissioners, across the providers, which means to say that there's less time and effort spent in contestation about the data and more time understanding what that's actually providing in terms of insight and doing something about it. And then the last one, that agenda around building the future. Last couple of weeks, there was a code of conduct published around working with the emerging industries around artificial intelligence. The testbed program is established and further developing. The 100,000 sequencing genomes program is in place. And there is an opportunity on the horizon with the Academic Health Science Network's knowledge will be very fundamental to ensure that we make best opportunity from around digital innovation hubs and understanding, again, how all of this wealth of insight can add up to ultimately a different experience for us as citizens and as patients. I just wanted to then just step out and make sure that this wasn't there was no risk of criticism of a technical conversation or a bureaucratic conversation, but actually a conversation about the opportunities that digital offers that are wider still than the ones that will ever be managed and contained and synthesized with the health and care system. And there are just a couple here that, again, I think in the, they've touched me quite deeply in the last number of weeks. If people aren't familiar with UMI and the Big C, you know, there was nothing on my slides to date about the whole way in which social media and the opportunity to have conversations with people of a different caliber and quality than perhaps we'd have had before is completely revolutionizing the power relationships and the insights people living with and managing conditions. So UMI and C, and the Big C is the big pod, is the podcast that Rachel Bland and colleagues from Five Live environment in terms of Radio Five Live, seek it out. Unfortunately, she passed away in the last couple of weeks, and the last podcast in particular is incredibly moving and very, very difficult to listen to because she was trying to capture a record of her life and transfer that onto her young son, Alfie. But it's been remarkably accessible and invigorating for people, I think, about living with and managing through that condition. And it's a world that the NHS doesn't have to grasp or grapple with. It's a world that the NHS just has to watch and respect and make sure that we direct and orientate people as appropriate to some of these other resources going forward. One of the other pictures up there is a lady called Liz O'Riordan, who's a cancer consultant in West Suffolk, who again has been very explicit over the last number of months in that world of communication around her experience of moving from being a cancer clinician to a woman managing and living with breast cancer. And again, you know, these are the conversations that people are having about the opportunities and insights that digital and the conversations enabled by digital can have in terms of their lives and their experience of health and care. So I just wanted to pick those out. There are other sort of diagrams there and figures there for other stories, but I just want to pick those out because fundamentally this ecosystem conversation is as much a conversation about the human experience and the relationships and the way in which digital going forward will completely move that paradigm on as much as it me going through a set of slides that show you the architecture of how national programs are being enabled and organized to deliver. What's our end state in this, or where are we moving forward to? I think we're moving forward to a place where we're actively wrapping digital care into the care package around acute recovery. We know that we have to do that, and I'm sure some of the insights that are being provided downstairs will be speaking to that agenda. We're absolutely wrapping care around people living with and managing chronic conditions to support a conversation now going forward, which is much as about wellness as it is about sickness. I thought Bledin was going to go down that line of the NHS thing about, you know, National Health Service, National Sick Service. You know, we really are using digital to reposition this going forward as a set of services and a set of supports to people in the wellness space as much as in the illness space, and digital will be instrumental to that. We're intervening in the care process where we've got the insight to know where is the right opportunity to do that and what channels are the right channels to make available to people for them to choose how they relate to their health condition, their life in this context. And again, digital takes us there. Personalising medicine, previous slide had the whole sort of genome sort of opportunities there. We are on the cusp of digital making a fundamental difference in the context of my N equals one in this debate, my relationship with my conditions and the way in which my contact with the health service is able to be aggregated up to insights that are then played back to my ongoing experience of that. We are, I think, and again, the Academic Health Science Network and the ECH Alliance ecosystem are fundamental to this, increasingly looking to close that loop between translational research and it impacted on new innovations for patients. It continues to be a scandal how long that takes. And we in this room will be part of a movement that shortens that and makes the bench to bedside to bedside to bench relationship much sharper, much quicker, and much more impactful. And fundamentally, I think what we are is a room full of disruptors. And what these sorts of conversations are about as much as anything else is the opportunity today and going forward for you to leave this room thinking about a disruption that you weren't aware of before you came here today, but you will commit to take something out of and make that fly when you get back into your work and environment in the next day or two. Thanks very much for your time.